Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Father David Abernathy, and recently I received biritual faculties, and I'm also planning on entering into the Archeparchy to serve as a Byzantine priest here in the future. And Father Miron is my teacher and has decided to throw me into the deep end. So it's sink or swim. And so you could pray a little bit for me today. It took me a good 20 minutes just to get the vestments on. So I think it's going to be sort of a slow learning curve. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning and to reflect upon the gospel in particular with you today. And some lessons I think we never learn, sadly, as we're growing up. And if you remember an old story from the Old Testament of the prophet Samuel, he's sent by God to seek out the one that he would anoint to be the new king of Israel. And so Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. And if you remember, he sees there Jesse's oldest son, Eliab. And he's amazed by him, his bearing, his stature. And he says to himself, surely this is the anointed one of God. And God said to Samuel, do not judge from his appearance or his lofty stature, for I have rejected him. Man does not see as God sees, because man sees the appearance, but God looks into the heart. How simple this truth is, and how often it escapes us. As human beings, we do precisely the opposite. We look and we judge by external appearances, and so we judge wrongly. We have the perfect example of this in our gospel today. First, with Jesus' own disciples, as we heard Father Miron chant in the gospel, as they are walking along the road, they catch sight of a beggar who'd also been born blind. And the first question that comes to the mind and that they put to Jesus is that, is this blindness and this poverty due to this man's sin or the sin of his parents, as if it were some kind of divine retribution? Immediately, they attributed his affliction to some personal failing, that it was a punishment. But Jesus tells them that they are altogether mistaken in their judgment. In fact, just the opposite would be true. This man, in all of his poverty and his weakness and his affliction, will be now the instrument through which God manifests his glory, his mercy to the world. For in the healing of this blind beggar, they will come to see that with great joy, what they had not expected to happen at all. We see the same thing in the Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel, but in a much more serious manner. They could not believe that these mighty acts could come from one like Jesus, one they believed was a heretic, a blasphemer. Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. It probably sounds strange to us and rather curious, but they had so twisted the law that they saw this as a violation of the Sabbath day regulations of no work. That Jesus' healing of this man and his affliction was a work that in some ways was against the law of God. They held to their judgment with such ferocity, we are told, that they began to interrogate the parents of the blind beggar. Was this a ruse? Had he truly been able to see throughout his whole life? Or was he truly blind? And when this failed, they sought to discredit Jesus by interrogating the blind beggar himself. And so when the blind beggar tells the scribes and the Pharisees that he indeed had been healed by our Lord, and that he thought he was the prophet of God, they become furious and they scream at him, how dare you teach us, you who are a sinner? You were born in utter sin. And now in blind rage, they were blind to the truth. They cast him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him, so to speak. where the disciples humbly acknowledged the error and so came to see the glory and the mercy of God. The Pharisees and the scribes slipped into greater and greater darkness. And for this reason, our Lord said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But because you say, 'We see,' your sin remains, your guilt remains." The message here for us, I think, is very simple. We Christians are not those who judge by appearances, because we do not and are not allowed to judge at all. We seek only to expose ourselves to the light of the truth, to the light of the gospel, to lay before the Lord all of our weaknesses, all of our poverty, in order that he might shine his light of healing upon them. Let's consider well whether or not we have embraced this reality before we approach the holy altar today. From receiving the Holy Eucharist, we receive he who is truth himself, he who does not look at appearances, but looks into the heart.